But first would be the approval of the agenda. Everyone's got a copy of the agenda. The motion, or do we have any changes to it? Anybody? Any motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And we also have a copy of the minutes in your package. And those were emailed to you by Susan last week, so we've had a chance to review them. And if we have any changes to the minutes, we can make those now. Otherwise, get a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve minutes as published.
And second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And turn over to Jim for his wildlife management update.
Before we start, Todd, I don't know if you want to introduce Bill as our new member.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Introduce Bill Poff, our new county, not really new anymore, but new county economic development director. Bill, how many months have you been here? Working on five. We haven't had an airport meeting in 5 months.
We got to get together more often.
When was your last one, May? Just about the time I started.
Yes.
When you had a meeting.
Yes.
You didn't invite me.
Well,
you're welcome.
See if you were to stay.
Todd said he, I think first week he came in my office and see you hung a picture, maybe you're going to stay.
Bill's hit the ground running, and he's not new to Sussex or anything we're doing here at the airport, so he's an asset to our operation and to this committee, so we're very happy to have him.
Sorry.
Okay.
Wildlife. It's deer season again. We have a permit to harvest deer here until the end of the year. We're putting the team back together. Should be getting together in the next few weeks to go out and get started. There's probably about 10 deer that we've seen out there at one time. We've had a permit over the summer, but like I said, it got into the deer are pregnant, then we got the fawns and the ticks, and it was hard convincing anybody to go out there and shoot deer. So now that the weather's changing, we'll go out and see what we can do. We've had 3 bird strikes since the last meeting. 2 were turkey vultures, and 1 was a starling. I found the starling on the runway. I have no idea who hit it or when. One of the turkey vulture strikes was on landing. It was a NetJets airplane, hit it on the landing gear door. I don't remember if it did much damage to that or not, but ruined the vulture's day. The other one was a Gulfstream 4 in the pattern, hit it on the nose. Didn't do a whole lot of damage other than scrape off a bunch of paint. I think they replaced the radome on that one. Anytime we have a bird strike, we send feathers off to the Smithsonian so they can identify what kind of bird it is. And like I said, both the big strikes were turkey vultures.
Oh,
right here, right here.
There's not much you can do about the turkey vultures, is there?
No, I mean, we've done a little bit. The swale by Taxiway B that was filling with water. They like to sun themselves and take a bath in the swale when it's full. We've dug that out a little bit and gotten that to drain. So I guess there's not much there. They used to like sitting on the millings pile because it's black and the heat and all that stuff. But we've done away with the millings pile. Yeah, there's a few things you can do, but the ones that are flying around 1,000 feet out in the pattern someplace, there's nothing you can do.
Do you think that puts us, you said there's been 3 in the last, say, 6 months, does that put us in any, are we benchmarked to any other airports? Do we know if that's a lot, or is it not many at all, or is it average? Do we
you mean
any?
Hits?
I was wondering, does the FAA publish that data that we would know where we stood? Is there if we were on the high end, would that enable us to take any extra measures?
No. The only stats that I've seen, I think it was Pittsburgh, and they were like at 1 a month. So this is still fairly low.
Well, yeah, we're not going to benchmark to Pittsburgh, but I mean to airports of our size. And interesting to know.
Yeah.
Had a friend just hit one with a super cut.
Bird strikes per airplanes. It's
well, I mean, there's got to be some way to measure it and make us benchmark to airports of our size. We don't want to benchmark to an international airport, but yeah. it would seem if we had a high occurrence, then maybe there's something the FAA might allow us to do something to remediate the problem.
There's probably more something that the FAA will make us do rather than allow us to do. That, you know, I'd rather keep it up to us what we do out here.
Well, it seems like we've been lucky if they've only hit the nose and landing gear. If one goes in an engine, mm-hmm. it's going to be mm-hmm. a much bigger deal.
It is a good thing that the gulls are not flying in this area. They're flying over that way. Mm-hmm. The gulls, they pretty much stay in the same pattern because there's a lot of seagulls goes from the beach out to over the landfill every day. Thousands of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did have a pretty successful year with the goose nests and eggs and stuff, so we had a debt on that.
Are you saying you'd rather we do what we can do? Do you have any options that are available to us or ideas? Or is it just not at this time?
Several years ago, we did have a wildlife biologist come out and kind of do an assessment, and there. Other than, you know, fencing in the airport, there wasn't a whole lot of other things that he recommended. So, like I said, you know, we try to take care of the geese. With, you know, we do what we can with the vultures. You know, the days when the visibility is low and the seagulls are out there on the runway, we go out and chase them away. There's not a lot you can really do. Any other questions on...
You don't. I got in a little bit late. Were you talking about vulture strikes or all bird strikes? The three.
We've had three. Two were vultures. One was a starling that we found on the runway. The other, the vultures, we know who hit them and when. It wasn't a lot of damage. The airplanes landed safely.
Yeah, I had a friend just hit a vulture with a super cub and bent the strut. You know, wing strut. Fortunately, if you hit it with a wing strut, not you know, prop.
Here. Here at
no, it wasn't here. It was just down in Virginia, grass industry.
That's it.
Any other questions on that? All right. Moving into the airport update. Instrument approaches, I think where we left the story off last time was they had told us that a VOR approach to runway 4 was not possible because the final approach fix was outside the criteria for a straight in approach. They've since called me back and said, we put our smartest people on this and we think we can do a VOR DME approach. So there is an approach in the works. They're aiming for a May 24th, 2018 publication date. I keep looking to see when they put it up for coordination between themselves to see, you know, minimums and, you know, what it's going to look like. And they haven't put that up yet. But as of today, that was the publication date. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
That's good. How many people still have DME in the airplane?
Look, just because you upgraded the GPS, you became somebody. I'm still down here, you know, at the lower level here. Yeah. turn.
Okay. Our aeronautical survey project that Delta Airport Consultants was working on, that was completed back in June. We did the aerial survey, and I think I told you this last time, they actually identified 7,000 or so penetrations to the various surfaces that the FAA defines. Not all of those are critical. Most of those are what you know, the Part 77 surfaces, which are maybe we have to do something about, maybe we don't. But there were some surfaces that we had penetrations to that could affect our instrument approach minimums. Fortunately, all of those are on county property or property that we have easy access to, like the railroad right away.
That survey was done by Delta, not by the FAA?
It was done by Wolpert, it was the surveyor, but Delta was our airport consultant, so they were in charge of the project. I've got a plan set with 65 sheets of plans showing where all these obstructions are. And we whittled it down to the ones that, you know, we could have problems with our instrument approaches. if you want to be technical, is the big obstructions are on our precision obstacle clearance area, which, like I said, it's all in close to the airport, things we can take care of. So we created a separate project. We're going to clear those trees probably starting next month. We awarded the contract yesterday to Strobert Tree Services for almost $66,000. There's several areas of trees that we're going to cut down, and then there's individual trees that we've identified that need to come down. So that'll take place. And then there's some other things. The utility pole on Park Avenue that's 7 feet too tall. I'm working with Delmarva Power to take care of that. And then there's some other trees that the county can send somebody out with a chainsaw and take care of. So there's a lot of work being done there. Taxiway C, that's in progress. We've closed the runway five days in the last few weeks to start that project. Right now, the schedule says 13th of October to be completed. We're running about a week ahead of time on that. So no more runway closures for that. And they should be out, I think, next week, do some striping. They got an in-pavement light they need to fix. I don't think that's going to require a runway closure, the last I heard, but I don't know if we'd... The week after Wings and Wheels, we're going to finish our paving of the tie-down area out there. If you remember last year, we did most of this area, the hot mix part of that in front of the concrete. We're going to finish that up, and it'll go from where the old T-hanger was over to Sussex Aero Maintenance in that area. But they'll mill the first week and pave the second week. So starting probably the Tuesday of after Wings and Wheels, that area will be closed. I think you can get out. We'll have to work with you on that. The taxi lane coming from the backside of around the hangars there, that won't be blocked except for when it depends on when the milling machine is there and which way it's facing, but. The actual work, the actual pavement is outside of that taxi lane. Any questions on that? You're looking confused.
As long as we can still get out, I don't care which direction it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always said that, it don't matter to me.
Yeah. Like I said, with the milling machine with the big arm and the trucks and stuff, if they're having to come the other way, may have to work around that, but we'll address that when we get to it. Let's see, taxiway D, which will be our parallel taxiway to runway 1028, that's in the design process right now. They should be out there surveying in the next few days or so to get that started. Like I said, that'll run the full length of 1028. We also have our electrical upgrade project is still in progress. I think we had left off last time. We just received our two new vaults, so we've been out there outfitting those, getting those ready, and then also running conduit to run the wires to all that. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Rick is now a county employee in charge of that project, so I don't know if you want to say something about that or not, but I mean, that's
covered well.
Yeah, so that's in progress.
Somebody has specific questions.
Let's see, the new T-hanger has been completed, that it's full of tenants. The old T-hanger is gone. Everything seems to be working out fine with that. We did make some minor modifications to the entrance to each one of the hangars. We had put about a 3/4 inch lip to keep the water out of the hangar, and that created some problems for people getting in and out. So we've put a diamond plated ramp up to it. And I think that's about it.
Okay.
Questions? Comments?
Just one question. It's really not about that, but it's about something else. I brought this up once a year or so ago. Have we ever considered putting in a grass runway? The last few months, I've been traveling with and doing a lot of flying with some of these people that's got the, Cubs and Super Cubs and bush flying, that kind of stuff. I am amazed how many of them are around and how much they get together on weekends and fly different places. this would be the ideal place with the restaurant and all the other services, and they avoid like plague going into paved asphalt runways. They seek out places that's got grass and take in 12, 15 airplanes at a time regularly. So it would increase a lot of traffic, gas sales, et cetera, if we just could. And I went out with a golf cart last weekend, was riding around with a couple of these folks, and you got a couple of areas where we could, without a whole lot of work, probably put in a grass runway, designate a grass runway.
What don't they like about pavement?
Tires. Shimmy. There's all kind of problems with tailwheel airplanes they don't like about, don't like to land on pavement. If you got turf tires on your airplane, you don't want to land on, you don't want to land on asphalt. They avoid it. But anyway, anybody else ever?
Is Cambridge, that section where I see them land between the taxiway, is that an actual?
I don't think it's designated. I think it's just do it. And it's the same thing with a lot of other airports. We were, where were we? We were landing runway 5. If we were calling it 5 right, even though it's just a grass area, because the gliders were landing there, so we were down near Triple Tree.
What I'm talking about, Jim, is actually between the taxiway and the runway, Cambridge. They actually land right in that grass. Taxi, perpendicular taxiway, but they actually land right in there and use that as a grass runway.
Yeah. If you've done much tailwheel flying, which I've been doing a lot this summer, you learn to stay off the asphalt as much as you can. The airplane is far safer and easier to handle on grass than it is on asphalt. My L-16, which I hadn't flown in a long time, started flying it the other day. And a Tiger Moth. Good God, the difference on grass versus on asphalt. Those airplanes were designed, they didn't have asphalt runways in 1940. Everything was grass. And all these old vintage airplanes, they don't do well. You know, it's a safety issue for one thing, tires another issue. They don't do well on asphalt.
I would suggest that Larry, you meet with Jim and show him the areas where you think that you identify that you think it could work, and then it would really ultimately be a county decision.
All they need 2,000 feet. I've queried a bunch of people. 2,000 feet is all they need. You know, these type of airplanes, just 2,000 feet, not 5,000 foot
like
of grass.
A long
and
runway for these
what?
2,000 seems like a long runway for a lot of these small airplanes.
2,000 feet is plenty for all the tailwheel.
But I think to get it moving
airplanes.
Forward, I think you and Jim have to sit down and identify the exact areas where you want to do it, and then there's probably FAA implications, but that's all that we can.
Well, yeah, you can't do it on the left side runway because you get the visor lights.
All
but
we can,
on the right side runway.
All we can do here
can.
Is just let Jim take it from here.
Yeah, we'll take a look.
Well, I'll stop down sometime and we'll ride around a golf cart.
Anything else for Jim's airport update? Anybody? Okay. Then next, Larry, it's your turn to give us a Wings and Wheels update.
Well, I don't know if everybody knows, but Dick Cole is coming out. And Friday night, we're going to be celebrating his 102nd birthday. If you don't have your tickets for the Friday night dinner, you might want to do that. Dick is, let's say, 6 weeks before Oshkosh when he fell and broke his arm, and we're considering, the doctors even told the family to start planning for his, get his things in order. And he wound up making it to Oshkosh and did some interviews up there, and you could tell he did not lost one iota of mental acuity, just sharp as a tack. And physically, he's making an amazing recovery back. He's almost back to normal, even at 102. But anyway, he's still going to be out here, and we're going to, Linda can give you more update, but on Friday night at dinner, we're going to have a little special recognition. We got, you know, special glasses celebrating his 102nd birthday. You know, that we're going to have available. And Saturday is, we're not having a rain date on Sunday. You know, that we tried to do that years ago, and it just doesn't work trying to do a rain date. So if anybody asks you about rain date, no, we're not going to do a rain date. You lose your volunteers, you don't have your volunteers, you can't do anything. Saturday will be a go or no go, and we'll make that call. What do we do, at 6 in the morning, and when we normally get together, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning?
6 or 7.
And then immediately call the radio stations if we wind up having what we've had the last 2 years in a row. And that's,
we're not having that, Larry. Stop.
I know we're not, but I'm saying just in case, you know, where we had a hurricane 1 year and a nor'easter the second year, and we're just no way in the world. So hopefully, you know, this year we'll have the weather. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty much the same as in the past. Some different acts on Friday night, you know, for the dinner. Linda, you want to update everybody on who the acts are?
We decided to go more of a like USO variety show type of thing. So we have the band's going to play first, and then Mr. Ken Huff and Mr. Goodwood, which is a ventriloquist act, and then the Del Marvelous Dolls, which is an Andrew Sisters type act, and then the band, well, before Ken Huff, then we're going to do the commemoration for the 75th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid and the celebration for Dick's birthday, and then the acts will take in, and then the band will end it for us on Friday night. And then Saturday, we have a full complement of vendors. We have, right now we have 18 food vendors of all different variety, and probably 32 regular vendors that are, and they're still trying to come in. I just had a food vendor that I had to turn down because I don't have any more room for them. The reenactors, my understanding, on the Dr. Hattier side, we moved them over to the left-hand side of the terminal building in the grass area over there, and they're thrilled that they're over there, and they are planning to have a much larger contingent of vehicles and participants this year because they love the space. And then Larry's got a group, the Airman's Wing.
Airman's Preservation Society.
That's going to be in the grass area between Skip's hangar and Larry's hangar. We walked the airport the other day to figure out from a logistics perspective for the car show, and we've got that all figured out. And we've also reconfigured the parking for the show on Friday night. And so we're really excited about what we've got. There's a lot of buzz about it. We had a lot more advertising, and I've done so much radio in the last 2 weeks that I can't even think straight. On Monday Night Football, if you have Comcast, where we have an ad run, an ad running on that, and we've got a lot of radio play this year than we've ever had. Then Sunday we have the EAA Young Eagles program that they're going to be registering kids on Saturday at their booth from 8 to 17 to get them free plane rides on Sunday. And I think we have 7 or 8 planes, I think, somewhere around there. So we're thinking somewhere around 70 kids can be taken up. That's a free flight for them, but they have to have their parents' permission to be able to take the flight.
It's a little more than that too. It's not just a flight. It's a little
right.
Orientation to aerodynamics. And
right.
Basic.
You know,
just
the
basic
book,
kind of stuff
get,
to try
yeah.
to get them excited.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then our aviation education day on Friday. We currently have 50 kids that are signed up, and we have probably 4 or 5 other schools that are interested in sending kids. We capped it at 125 this year because we just think that that's a good number with our vendors and with our. With our speakers to get a little bit more time with them. So we're excited about that. And we have Joe Edwards coming back, the NASA shuttle commander and Navy Top Gun. So he'll be back on Friday for us, as well as he'll be there on Saturday for us. So we're excited. We're hoping, they keep telling me stop looking at the weather, but right now the weather looks good. I know it's too far out, but I'm still hoping, and I've got still people praying and doing sun dances, so hopefully we'll have a good weekend.
Any weather report more than 24 hours?
I know, Larry, I know, but just let me dream a little bit, okay?
I know, we've been washed out 2 years in a row.
I know.
It's almost like the Horn Point Fly-In. Any of you ever used to go to Horn Point? They got rained out so many years in a row, they finally just canceled even having it there. They just quit. Now they moved it up to Massey. But 6 or 7 years in a row, they were rained out. Remember that? God, I hope we never get that kind of luck.
No,
yeah.
No, we'll have connections this year, so we'll go. Mr. Wilson's going to do some praying for us.
So is there anything, any support that you need that the committee can provide to you guys? You have it, you've been doing this many years, I'm sure you have everything lined up, but is there anything
I just want to throw out one thing. One of our problems and one of our real logistics problems has always been getting all them old rotten wooden barricades that the city loans us out here and getting them put up and taken down and the logistics, laying them out so we can put them up. Gus this year, because I'm going to put you on the spot. Went out and bought us 100 of these big tall stands like you've got out where the Jets park. So that we can, and donated them to the Wings and Wheels group so that we can just put those up really quickly, run, and I've got 2,000 feet of nylon rope, yellow nylon rope coming, so we can just real quickly put those out, put the rope, take them down. So it'll be a whole lot quicker to set up and take down and easier to set up, you know, gates for moving airplanes in and out. So that's going to be a huge asset. Thank you,
guys. And they're in, by the way. They're out to the shop.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
I mean, huge asset. You know, the people that are sitting on this committee that have worked with us for years, I mean, we kind of know what we need to do now. And we, you know, a couple years back, we did some logistical changes that we haven't quite put into play. Last year was the first time that we sort of put it in, and it worked. So, you know, we haven't been tested for a nice day yet, but I think we're fine. You know, from a logistics standpoint, we've got trams from that the Nanticoke Powwow uses. We have 3 of those, and we have 2 school buses. With Todd's help, we have really easy loop for drop, pick up and drop off. Gus and I were out at Sussex Academy a couple weeks ago, and we found a way that we could do some handicap parking over there and really close to where the trams are, because we can't do any parking here. I think we've worked out everything that we could work out, and we've, you know, it's just a matter of getting the volunteers that we need, and Rick's been working on that, and you know, the chamber's been working on it. So but we have that really good core group of people that, you know, come out that Friday and Saturday or Thursday night when we set up, and we know what we need to do, we just do it. So I think this is the first year that some changes happened with the chamber, which has made our job a lot easier this year. My constraints have kind of been taken off, and I've been able to kind of run with some things, and it's made things a lot easier for us. So we're hoping with that change that Saturday is going to be a much better Saturday, and people are really going to have a good time. So,
are the Navy Academy skydivers going to be here?
They have one more approval that they have to go through, but he said that if the midshipmen can't be here, their coaches will be here. So we will have them back.
Well, Al Corden will be working with whoever that is to coordinate the flying.
Mike Davidson.
Okay, guys. Well, good luck. We're all pulling for you.
Thanks.
Get the weather. I mean, you got it. The law of averages says it's going to be a beautiful week.
I know. I want a weekend like Dover had, you know, last week or something.
Yeah, all right. Well, next on our agenda is public comments. Anyone from the public want to bring anything up, speak to us?
11 o'clock the other night, WBOC had the flyover that they do with the helicopter, recognizing the airport. It was very nice. I don't know how many people saw it.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's the same story they did 2 years ago.
About the airport, you know, but they did show it and everything.
Give a little bit of the history.
Starting as a naval base. Yeah.
Jim says it's the same.
It's the same story they did 2 years ago.
So just
they updated it a little bit, but it's the same. We went back and looked at the two.
One of our guys, Bill Rosick, had contacted the NBC station over Rehoboth, and they will most likely be here on Saturday as well.
Okay. Yeah, we have somebody.
Who knows? I don't trust the media anymore. They say they're going to be there. They don't show up. They don't. They say they're not going to be there, and they do show up. So it's a crapshoot one way or the other.
Well, this year is our 10th anniversary, so we did instead of the normal insert that we do in the Sussex Post next week, we actually have a bound booklet that's a more. I don't want to say professional, but more of a collectible kind of a thing. And that'll be out next week. We have Sussex Post is going to, of course, cover us like they've always done. Somebody from the Coast Press is coming on Friday night that we've never had coverage from before. And we have some legislators that are coming on Friday night, which we've never had before. So I'm kind of excited about that as well. So.
And, if people ask you, tell them the admission fee has been doubled. It went from 0 to 0, so it's still 0. Mm-hmm. There is no admission fee. There is no parking fee.
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is a parking fee.
$5
Well, $5, excuse me. Oh, yeah. Jeez, you know, the cost of a McDonald's hamburger. But it's still, the event itself is still a free event, and we hope to always keep it that way. You know, there's some businesses and that have been, Northrop Grumman, for instance, again this year, come through with the same support, and other businesses with support that covers things like the insurance and the porta pots and all this other kind of guts with the barricades and stuff. That always makes it possible for us to do this, and this has become a premier event for Southern Delaware.
We have a lot of play from Southern Delaware Tourism, and you know, there's a lot of people that are involved in this, and we're thankful for the support, and you know, we keep getting newer people on board, so that's a big help to us. Newer people are coming in on Friday night from looking for from the ticket sales, so we're excited about that. There's a group from that's the Delaware chapter of the Naval Academy graduates that came last year for the first time. And that they had such a great time, they put it out to Pennsylvania, Virginia, New Jersey, their alumni association. So we put some packages together for them with the help of Southern Delaware Tourism. So we're hoping to see what that brings to us. But like I said, we've got more people are buying tables this year because you can reserve tables of eight. So we're getting more tables that are being bought this year than we've had in the past.
Still have seats available?
We still have seats available. You can go to our website, or you can call the Chamber office, or you can call me.
All right, you hear that. Members of the public, you hear that. Spread the word when you go home tonight.
That's right. I have even flyers if you want to take flyers home with you.
All right, anything else? This is the public comment section, so anybody else from the public want to speak to us? Going once? Going twice?
I'll take a couple of flyers. Whatever.
Sold. Flyers to the man in yellow.
Thank you.
All right, then let's schedule our next meeting date.
Can I say something?
Traditionally, our...
Karen.
Go ahead.
One more time.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I was having dinner the other night, and people parking their plane had to carry their luggage a very far distance. I was wondering if we could get a teenager with a golf cart to... sit and help people in from their planes.
Well, during business hours from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m., my staff is over there with luggage carts, and
but this was evening.
Well, I think it would be very hard to manage a unsupervised person on a public use airport on an active ramp, especially a teenager like you're describing that has maybe minimal aeronautical experience being out. It sounds to me more like a safety hazard of having an unsupervised person out there running back and forth. So I would defer to the airport management about how they would handle that, but just from my observations of running the ramp, I'd say it's more of a safety hazard than a convenience to the public.
I mean, he wouldn't go out until the plane came.
I'm going to defer to airport management, but I manage that whole ramp out there, and I wouldn't. Whenever I've hired someone, a person like that, all they can do is sit at the desk. They're not allowed out on the ramp. When I hire a teenager for the summer, I don't let them out on the ramp. It's too dangerous. People hit props. People get hit by props. People get in the way. You know, there's a lot of activity on the ramp. And especially you're describing in the evening toward dusk, it's even more of a risk because then you're in a lower visibility situation. I would encourage those people to just coordinate with the aircraft arrival to coordinate with us so they get here between business hours so we can help them out. And we do that for whether it's a small airplane we're parking way out in the overnight ramp or it's a big jet. The guys treat them the same way. They always get the the high-end treatment. We take their stuff right out to their car sometimes, and but that's really an airport management decision. If they would want to pursue that, then they would take care of hiring the person and supervising that person, make sure it's done in a safe way.
After hours, they can coordinate it. Also, correct, Garrett. I mean, if they can call you in advance, I mean, there's coordination that can be done for that.
I would say, for the most part, as pilots, that sort of goes with the territory. If you show up after, if I know the place is closed, I know I'm going to have to lug my stuff, then I might make arrangements to get there before they close.
I carry a little small fold-up handcart in the airplane.
Right, yeah, I mean,
But there was number of years ago down at Carrollton Airport in it was Northwest Regional in Carrollton, Georgia. They used to have a little wagon-type cart that they left parked at the FBO after hours until someone left it out at a tie-down spot one night and somebody ran into it and did about $50,000 worth of damage to the airplane. So they quit leaving a baggage cart available for people to use after hours after that.
But to follow up on what she was saying, probably one of the worst things that happens since being non-GPS, had to divert from one airport, Airport A to Airport B, and Airport B did not have a rental car, the FBOs were closed, everything was closed up. Do we have a phone number for somebody to call or something out there? Is it really?
I just got a message while we're sitting here. They call the FBO, I get after hours service that takes the message, sends this guy needs a rental car. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to get him set up with a rental car.
So is your number up on the where the aircraft comes in? I've never taken notice.
I mean, our business cards are right out there with our phone numbers on them. I mean, it's Georgetown Air Service plastered everywhere out there. Our Facebook, I think most pilots could figure out how to get a hold of it. And, you know, a lot of times they'll go into RANs, I'll get calls from Shorty. I mean, that's happened a lot, where Shorty has got my number, and he's called me to...
I think what you're talking about is where you arrive and it says, for after-hour services, a phone number actually placarded on the door.
I thought she was going to have to sleep under the wing in Florida one time. She wasn't what you would call real happy about.
Who was that? Oh, you... Oh.
Did you call ahead?
I had to divert. It was like, I can't get in, Daytona. So, Flagler, you ever been to Flagler after they closed?
Try not to.
I try not to stop there when they're open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
I don't see that there's any problem with people getting a hold of me. The phone rings all hours of the night.
Right.
So, they seem to figure out how to get a hold of me.
And like I said, I've never paid attention here.
Yeah.
It's just when I went somewhere else.
There's been a few occasions we're here late and somebody show up late and they're looking for a car. I just give them the keys to my old pickup truck and say, bring it back tomorrow and just let them use it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because anybody wants to drive that whole thing anyway. But all right, it gets people
around. Let's get back to our next meeting date, which we've traditionally combined our November-December meeting. We're on every other month cycle, so that would mean we'd meet November, but that puts us right around Thanksgiving. The 27th is available, but it's the week after Thanksgiving, so I don't know if people...
29th is Wednesday.
I'm in the wrong month, guys. Sorry. 29th of November.
I'll be test pilot school that whole week, so I won't be in the area.
All right.
But, I mean, don't hold it up just for me, but that's... I won't be.
Well, if we don't do it then, it puts us into December, and our attendance really drops off in December.
What about the 15th?
Do you guys want to make it the week before Thanksgiving? Any objection to that?
No.
Okay.
Need a motion for the 15th?
Yeah, let's. Do we need to get a motion for the, what's that, meeting day?
15th.
Yeah.
November 15th.
Okay, if you want to. All right, go ahead and make a motion for it, too.
Make a motion that our next meeting be November 15th at 6 o'clock.
I'll second it.
And second it. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
November 15th it is. Okay, just need a motion to adjourn our meeting, and we're all done. All right.
Motion
to adjourn. Second. And all in favor.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Thanks, members of the public, for attending.